Good morning. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. Barah Ministries teaches the Word of God from God's perspective and not from human perspective. And we want to know that we want to know what God has to say to us through His Word. And we're convinced that He knows exactly what He's talking about. Today's Bible lesson, in prayer and in all things, God never leaves us on our own. In prayer and in all things, God never leaves us on our own. In one of her songs, singer Bette Midler croons, "God is watching us from a distance." Nothing could be further from the truth. Our omnipresent God, who is everywhere at the same time, and who is not at all bound by time and space, is with us up close and personal every single minute. He says, "Wherever two or more of you are gathered in my name, I will be there in your midst." Nowhere is his presence more near than at the time when we are praying. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 to 30 is the passage under study. In the same way we groan within ourselves, as in Romans 8, 23, waiting eagerly for our adoption as adult sons, waiting eagerly for the redemption of our bodies, and waiting eagerly for the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Just the way we groan, God the Holy Spirit, who is called the first fruits of our salvation, groans to help our weakness. For example, we don't know how to pray as we should, but God the Holy Spirit himself personally intercedes for us in prayer with groanings too deep for words. Romans 8:27. God the Father, who keeps on searching the hearts of all those who pray, knows what the mind of God the Holy Spirit is through his groanings, which can't be uttered in words. Because God the Holy Spirit intercedes for the saints, that's all believers in Christ, according to the will of God the Father. Romans 8:28, and we know that God the Father causes all things to work together for good to those who love God the Father, to those who are called according to the Father's purpose. Romans 8:29. For those whom God the Father foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the Lord would be the firstborn among many brethren. Romans 8:30. And these whom God the Father predestined, he also called. And these whom God the Father called, he also justified. And these whom God the Father justified, he also glorified. God the Holy Spirit is our mentor and our teacher. And in prayer, the Spirit is our internal agent and our intercessor, who comes powerfully to our assistance in our weakness, just as the Lord Jesus Christ promised he would in John chapter 16, verses 5 to 7, which say this: "But now I, the Lord Jesus Christ, am going to God the Father who sent me. And none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?'" John 16, 6. "But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart." John 16, 7. "But I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, God the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the one who comes powerfully to our assistance, will not come to you. But if I go, and I am, I will send him to you." John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. "But when he, God the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come." John 16, 14, "And God the Holy Spirit will glorify me," the Lord Jesus Christ, "for he will take of mine, and he will disclose it to you." So, when we ask, what's the right attitude when I'm praying? When we ask, how do I pray? When we ask, what do I pray for? We completely miss the point. The right approach to prayer is the one that has nothing to do with you. The right approach to prayer is the one where you acknowledge your weakness, and that counts on someone who always gets things done, God the Holy Spirit. So you're not counting on yourself to get a prayer done, but when you're counting on God the Holy Spirit to get a prayer done, that's when you're in the right place. God does not expect anything of us in the spiritual life. That is, he knows that we don't have power in the human realm. And so he is not counting on human power to drive a supernatural spiritual life. That's incomprehensible to us, that God has something for us and needs nothing in return from us. So in the matter of prayer, we simply take the help from the helper, God the Holy Spirit, because God never leaves his believers on their own. So welcome to a place where you can know that praying well has little to do with you and everything to do with what God does for you. And you know what that really means? That means that our God is an awesome God. So let's hear Rich Mullen sing about that as we get our souls ready to learn the Word of God.
When he rolls up his sleeves, he ain't just putting on the Ritz.
Our God is an awesome God.
There's thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fists.
Our God is an awesome God.
And the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God.
Our God.
Night.
Our God is an awesome God.
He spoke into the darkness and created the light.
Our God is an awesome God.
In judgment and wrath he poured out on Sodom. The mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God.
Our God.
Let's pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God. Father, thank you for requiring nothing of us to power our prayer life. Thank you that we don't have to take the Dale Carnegie course in effective speaking to be able to communicate with you. Teach us how to talk to you as we talk to a friend, all day, every day, as many times as we want. And help us to realize that no request, no conversation is too small for you. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Today's Bible lesson: in prayer and in all things, God never leaves us on our own. In prayer and in all things, God never leaves us on our own. Well, when we think that prayer is about what we do or don't do. We're like the Pharisees in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. Here's what it says there. And the Lord Jesus Christ also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. That's called self-righteousness. So there are two types of righteousness. There's the righteousness that comes from God, and then there's self-righteousness. And that is us as human beings manufacturing what we consider to be a righteousness, and then taking that before God and asking him, are you pleased with this thing? And of course he's not. Romans 3:10 says, there is none righteous, not even one. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall dramatically short of the essence of God. So the Lord Jesus Christ told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. And there's the second part of the problem, that when we think we're righteous, then everybody else is lesser than us. Luke 18:10, now two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And just to give you the perspective of that, the Pharisee is the top drawer and the tax collector is two steps below a prostitute. Right? That is in the viewpoint of the people of that time, that the Pharisee was it. And so what did the Pharisee do? Luke 18:11, the Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. I'm not like swindlers. I'm not unjust. I'm not like the adulterers or even like this tax collector. It's kind of like living in Gilbert and talking to people in Scottsdale. It's kind of like that, right? You know, oh, I live in Scottsdale, but you live in Gilbert or even Mesa. I'm proud I live in Gilbert, and I like teaching in Mesa. Amen, and I don't want to teach in Scottsdale. All right, Luke 18:12. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. Luke 18:13. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. What he was saying is, God, I'm an unbeliever. Help my unbelief. Luke 18:14. Well, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, tell you, this man, the tax collector, went to his house justified, meaning saved, rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. You see, in prayer, God doesn't need to hear our resume. God does everything for us, so there is no need to worry about exalting ourselves in his eyes, about having just the right works, about having just the right format, as if somehow we can impress God. In prayer, we simply come as we are, and we let the Holy Spirit help our weakness. So let's take a few moments now to take the offering before we contemplate a few closing thoughts in the matter of prayer. So in a moment, I'm going to welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall to take the offering, but I'd like to share with you Barah Ministries' financial policy. We choose not to charge for the things that we provide to help you study the Word of God. We wish to reflect God's grace. Help yourselves to Bibles, to music, to books, to pamphlets, to anything that would help you. Anything that would help a family member, anything that would help a friend learn about God. And no price appears on any material from Barah Ministries, so that anyone who wants to learn about God can do so free of charge. And even though the materials are free of charge, they are not free of costs. So we appreciate the financial support you provide, which allows us to provide the Word of God to hearers all throughout the world, the hearers that God brings to listen. So please be generous in your support of God's work through this ministry. So let's welcome up Deacon Denny Goodall.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Denny Goodall, and I'm proud to be the offering collector for Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church. Because we know it's not a tax that the offering is something we give because we want to. And that makes it so much more special. I don't think I've ever given taxes because I wanted to. especially in tax season right now. So last week at this time, I was preparing for a four-day trip to San Diego, and I don't think I've ever prayed so much about my wife's car. And I was praying nonstop, just, you know, Lord, glorify this car and your plan. And right when I said that, I was like, oh, our car's going to break down. Our car's going to break down. And so sure enough, right through the Border Patrol station in the mountains coming into San Diego, about an hour away, a huge cloud of vapor comes off the hood, and I'm literally in a smoke screen. So I pull off the side of the road and open the car. It's dripping coolant everywhere, dripping all over the engine. I squeeze the hose that goes to the radiator, and it just starts squirting out. So I'm not a mechanic. Basically, if it says check engine, I look to see if it's there. It is there. But I could tell this car was not going anywhere, and the hopelessness and helplessness just sunk in immediately. I failed as a father. I failed as a dad. I failed as a husband. I left us stranded. So, of course, I'm instantly into prayer. Nonstop prayer. We called the tow truck guy. He came an hour later. So blessed to have my neighbor in town who picked us up at the same time, picked up Emily and William and followed the tow truck driver, facilitating us to get cash to pay the guy, to drop the car off, and he ended up dropping us at our hotel, which was about 2 hours from his hotel with return trip. I mean, it's just awesome. And you think, why would this happen on our vacation? Well, I feel blessed because it didn't happen to Emily and William while they're stranded somewhere here in town, because it was going to happen, but I wouldn't be there. So it happened while I was there. Another thing, it happened at the beginning of our vacation. Another thing, at initial outlook on it, perspective is, man, this really stinks. But then I thought, well, this gives us plenty of time to get the car fixed. So, you know, it happened right at the beginning, you know. And then our car being dropped off in the middle of the night, we were first in line to be fixed the next day. So many things were just a blessing from God. But on the outlook, you know, on the first initial look at it, I felt like a failure. I was so mad. I was so angry that there was nothing I could do to fix this. I had to depend on God. I had to depend on others, just like the offering. None of us can just do this by ourselves. Pastor could try to do it by himself and be up here all the time, but it would drive him crazy to not have our faces just blankly staring at him all the time. Unless he talks about Satan or something. But initially, as a kid, my mom taught us a thing we would sing. It was, I'm a Christian soldier, brave and bold. When Satan tries to fight me, I just draw my sword. Because the God word tells me the battle is the Lord's. And it really was. So in the same way, you know, God gives us everything we have. He gives me the money to spend on the car. He gives you the money to clothe yourselves. He gives you the money to give to Barah Ministries. And I was looking through Romans about some verses on prayer. And Romans chapter 12, verse 3 came up. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, do not think more highly of yourselves than you ought. And this is Paul saying, once again, saying that it isn't his own grace. It was given to him. He's not taking any right or privilege from it. It's all given to God. Do not think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each of a measure of faith. So God allots the faith we even have in those situations. It's not my faith I'm depending on. And that just blew my mind to think, even God does our faith. He does everything for us. You know, so when you give an offering, he's taking that offering, and it's a supernatural structure that takes care of that and uses it around the world. And it's just amazing what we've done with so few people and over a long period of time, and really just put our head down and kept going and going. And it wasn't really our own work. It's always been God. Amen. It's always been the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you for everything you've given, and keep giving of your time, your talent, and your treasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome back, and thank you, Deacon Denny, for the great story. And that, you know, I could feel your frustration, and the feelings that you have when you're a dad and you want everything to go well and it doesn't, and there's nothing you can do about it. It's a very powerless feeling. But you know, we always remember that when we're weak, that's when we're strong, because the power of God dwells in us. And I certainly saw His hand in everything that happened to you during the week. And there are a lot of things that are going to happen to you after this that are going to be very powerful in your life because of you having to go through that and to handle that. So thank you for that. I was going to call you the angel of death, because that's kind of how you were describing, you know, taking the offering. You know, we send up, but now let's welcome up the angel of death to take the offering. Just not today. I'll save that for next week. So today's lesson: in prayer and in all things, God never leaves us on our own. In prayer and in all things, God never leaves us on our own. Well, as a Roman Catholic, and I spent 21 years of my life as a Roman Catholic, on the track to become a Jesuit priest, so a very serious Catholic, a devout Catholic, we prayed the rosary. And I don't know that you guys have ever seen a rosary, but it kind of looks like this. It's a form of prayer named for a string of prayer beads used to count the component prayers. And so there were 10. You had to do 10. You had to do one Our Father, followed by 10 Hail Marys. And as you did each prayer, you would move down the beads. I see the other Roman Catholics in here getting kind of weepy, so don't start getting weepy on me. But if you do, I got Kleenex. I know you remember those days. So if you guys need any Kleenex as you reminisce about this, you know, I had creepy feelings going up my back as I remembered this. So one Our Father, followed by 10 Hail Marys, followed by one Glory Be. And so for the rest of you who may not have been traumatized by this kind of prayer, I'd like to share those prayers with you. The one Our Father was this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So that was the Our Father was the lead. And then you said 10 Hail Marys in rapid succession. And they sound like this: Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And I find that particularly ironic now, because it says, pray for us sinners. And we know that a sinner is an unbeliever, right? So Catholics, Roman Catholics, are praying, and they're calling themselves what many of them are, unbelievers, because the Jesus Christ of Roman Catholicism is another Jesus and not the Jesus of biblical Christianity. Now, this particular prayer, you know, I could go through that very fast. And as a matter of fact, I knew it in Latin. So I could go through it even faster in Latin. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tua mulieribus, benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc in hora mortis nostrae, amen. You see? I got skills. I got skills. So that helped me get through. Achoo. Bless you. So that helped me get through that. And then one Glory Be to the Father. After you did the one Our Father, 10 Hail Marys, Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Now, as a Roman Catholic, and praying those rosaries in those 21 years, I could never get my head wrapped around why that was a good idea in light of this biblical passage. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 8, which say this: when you pray, you're not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. Matthew 6:6. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Matthew 6, 7. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles, the unbelievers, do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Matthew 6, 8. So don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So I would ask in catechism class, I would ask Sister John Mary. All right, so on the one hand, we do these prayers, and we repeat the same prayer over and over, but the Bible says, don't use meaningless repetition. What do you make of that? You know, that's why my left hand is kind of like it is today, because she'd take this stack of rulers that were taped with duct tape, there were about six of them, and she would bang me on the hand. I mean hard. And she was about 4'9", and meaner than a junkyard dog. And every time I asked a question, I'd get a beating. And it was really funny because one day I said to her, I said, Sister John Mary, are you under the mistaken impression that because you hit me, I'm going to stop questioning you? Well, that didn't work out for me. But I didn't stop asking the questions, and I just noticed that I had the Catechism of the Catholic Church in one hand and I had the Bible in the other hand, and they were saying absolutely opposite things, and it bothered me. And it bothered me because if I'm going to be a teacher of the Word, I have to be able to teach accurately. But you're discouraged from asking questions, and especially when the questions are the truth. Well, I learned prayer is not a public matter. Prayer is not a demonstration of our righteousness. Prayer is not a way we get others to see how spiritual we are. Prayer is a private conversation between God and you. And most importantly, prayer is a way for us to bring divine power to our own assistance and to the assistance of others in the face of human weakness. Prayer requires nothing from us except weakness. Think about the tax collector. I believe, help my unbelief. Think about the thief hanging next to Jesus on the cross. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Okay, truly I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. It doesn't require anything of us except weakness. So let's take a quick music break, and we'll have some final thoughts concerning our brief look at prayer. Music break, I Can Only Imagine by Mercy Me.
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. to my knees, will I fall, will I sing hallelujah, will I be able to speak at all, I can only imagine, yeah, I can only imagine. Forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
Today's lesson in prayer and in all things, God never leaves us on our own. I just want to mention, and I'm going to mention this a lot of times over the next several lessons just to get in the groove of mentioning it, but we have two different lessons each Sunday, and then we have a 10-minute Facebook lesson each Sunday. So I want to remind people about that. I also want to remind people that all of our lessons are recorded and posted on the internet, both in video form and audio form, and can be accessed anytime if you have access to the internet. Also, they can be accessed by downloading the Barah Ministries app into your phone. And I think we have about 250 lessons on Romans, so pretty good pace for the last couple of years. All right, so some final thoughts on prayer. The first thing is that prayer is not mechanics. Prayer is not mechanical, so you would never be asking yourself if you did it right. How many of you, show of hands, have found yourself wondering if you were doing prayer right at some time in your life? Yeah. All right. So because it's not mechanical, don't ever worry about that. And I think I told you about the time that I spent in systematic theology where it was you confess your sins, then all prayer is directed to God the Father, and then you thank God, and then you intercede for others, and then you make petition for yourself through the power of the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Okay, great. Yeah. But you're on that plane, and it's attitude down, and you got 12 seconds. Probably not going to get the mechanics in. So don't worry about that. Prayer is not a formula. It is unlikely that any one of your prayers would sound anything like another. I know that I know that there are a lot of times when just before I go to bed, I start praying. And before I'm finished praying, I'm asleep. We don't know how to pray as we should, but God the Holy Spirit helps our weakness and takes over that prayer and finishes it up. So prayer is not a formula. One won't sound like another. Prayer is not the vanity of meaningless repetition, as I illustrated by sharing with you the things that Roman Catholics do when they do the rosary. So it is not the rosary, it is not the Our Father, and then the 10 Hail Marys, and then the One Glory Be, 5 or 6 times around the rosary. Prayer is not about consistency. Now, the Bible says make it a habit to pray, but the Bible does not tell you to obsess about consistency. And so if you pray today and then you don't pray for 2 weeks, you don't get 5 demerit points against your heavenly tab. You pray when you pray. And so we don't get ourselves involved as Christians in the you gotta life. You gotta pray every day. You gotta pray every day or God's gonna be mad at you. It is not to be rigidly scheduled. And when it is missed, it is not the time to beat yourself up as if somehow you have let God down. It is not the time for you to sit in the middle of the floor with your thumb in your mouth, curled up in the fetal position, to punish yourself. And so the thing is, you pray when you pray. I'm going to disappoint you ladies right now, but prayer does not require diaries or lists or Hallmark books with burnt page edges and strings and perfumed scents. Right? So these little strings, you know, not necessary. They're kind of cool, though. Now, you know, I have said that to you guys before, and Dana now has two whole shelves in her home where things can be put because she was so mad when she went home after that lesson that she threw all of those books out, and now she has a lot of extra room, knowing that, that she will never have to buy that again. And Hallmark doesn't like me for saying what I just said, but it's the truth. Amen? Okay, if you were wondering where Dana is, she's right behind you. Okay. Prayer taps into divine possibilities, not human frailties. Prayer taps into divine possibilities, not human frailties. So we don't worry if we have just the right thoughts. We don't worry if we have just the right words or just the right setting. You can pray as you're falling asleep. You can pray on a crowded bus. You can pray amid the chaos of someone else talking to you. There are many times in my own home when I have started a prayer and my wife has things to say to me and I don't want to say, "Shh, honey, I'm praying." So I just realized that I can do two things at once, that part of my brain can be talking to the Lord and part of my ears and my brain can be listening to my lovely wife. Amen. Brian said, "Yeah, I hate that part." No. So, and when you're in that situation of chaos, where you're praying in chaos, you can always throw this in: "Father, please silence them," or "Please break out their teeth so they will shut up." Wait a minute, that doesn't work anymore. In the Old Testament, that was called the imprecatory prayer, where you would pray to break somebody's teeth out, but that does not apply to the New Testament, so scratch that. Prayer takes advantage of all those times when you can't get it done. There's something in your life that has to be done, and you can't make it happen, but God always is able to get anything done, and during those times, we remember Luke chapter 1, verse 37, and it says this: nothing is impossible with God. And so whatever it is, no matter how ridiculous you think it is, God can get it done. And we realize that God never leaves us on our own. John chapter 15, verse 5 says, "I, the Lord Jesus Christ, am the vine, and you, believers in Christ, are the branches. And he who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So nothing's impossible with God, and apart from God, you can do nothing. Isn't that beautiful? And without God's help, then, our prayers are meaningless. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." That's beautiful. I can do anything. Without me, you can do nothing, but you can do all things through me. What a great series of verses. To remember that and to call that to mind during those times when we can't make it happen. Realizing those three things is just a powerful thing. In God's plan, there are a lot of things that we don't know. We don't know how to be saved, but God knows how to save us. We don't know how to live the holy life, but God knows how to set us apart for privilege, to sanctify us, and to help us live the holy life. And that's why he gave the helper, God the Holy Spirit. And we don't know how to pray as we should. So the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, and the Lord Jesus Christ is an advocate for us. So lucky for us, God never leaves us on our own. He gives us, God, the Holy Spirit to help us in all things. And the Spirit does things for us without taking over our choices. He does not interfere with our will, but he does help. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18 says this, "For through the Lord Jesus Christ, we both, Jews and Gentiles, have direct access in one Spirit to God the Father." You see, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22, Paul is talking about how the Lord broke down the barrier of the dividing wall between the Jews and the Gentiles. And now, through Christ, we have direct access in a single Spirit. What is that called? Unity. We have unity. God the Holy Spirit is like someone who helps you write a grant when you don't know how to write a grant. God the Holy Spirit is like someone who helps you know what to say when you go for a job. I help a lot of people formulate just the right words when they're going for a job. I help a lot of people formulate their resume and to say their resume in a different way that is appealing and it makes it stand out from everybody else. That's what God the Holy Spirit does for us. We don't know what to pray for with our limited thoughts. For example, if we as a ministry asked God for $3 million to help us build our church and to have a fund, enough funds to run the church for 5 years, God knows we need a lot more than money to have a church facility. And so God the Holy Spirit thinks of the things we haven't thought of when we're praying, all the foundational things that need to be in place for us to have a church facility. And then God the Holy Spirit becomes your spokesman to the Godhead. Matthew chapter 10, verse 20 says this, "It is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you with groanings too deep for words." The Spirit is not the only one who speaks up for you, though. The risen Lord does the same. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 says this, "Therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to save forever those who draw near to God the Father through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." God the Holy Spirit is searching you from the inside to find out what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what you want to say. And he's saying those things to God the Father for you from the inside. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, who's seated at his Father's right hand, is making appeals to his Father on your behalf right next to the Father at the throne of God the Father. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24, "For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands." In the Old Testament, the Levitical priests would go behind the veil into the Holy of Holies. Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands. He didn't enter into a tabernacle that was made by men, which was a mere copy of the true tabernacle. But Christ entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God the Father for us. Wow. You ought to be jumping up and down when you hear that. That God went to heaven to talk to his Father for you. That's absolutely an amazing, astonishing thing. The Lord Jesus Christ intercedes for us in heaven at his Father's right hand, and he represents us, and he represents our petitions. Praying is the way we talk to the Lord. Prayer does not need to even be made in words, because God the Father keeps searching our hearts. And as the one who knows us better than we know ourselves, he knows what we want before we even ask for it. So what of the mute who cannot talk? Can he pray? What of the inarticulate? Can he pray? God doesn't need competence from us. God helps those who help themselves. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. God helps the completely incompetent, and that is all of us. So Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27 say this, "In the same way we groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as adult sons, waiting eagerly for the redemption of our bodies, and waiting eagerly for the freedom of the glory of the children of God, Just the way we groan, God the Holy Spirit, who is called the first fruits of our salvation, groans to help our weakness. For example, we don't know how to pray as we should, but God the Holy Spirit himself personally intercedes for us in prayer with groanings too deep for words. Romans 8:27, and God the Father, who keeps on searching the hearts of all those who pray, knows what the mind of God the Holy Spirit is through his groanings, which cannot be uttered in words, because God the Holy Spirit intercedes for the saints, all believers in Christ, according to the will of God the Father. So God never leaves us to our own devices. He certainly does not do that in prayer, because prayer is really important, probably one of the most important things that we do as Christians. The constant conversation with our God, the constant request, the constant needing of guidance. And the Holy Spirit is the perfect translator of our needs, the perfect translator of the desires of our heart, and is totally trusted by God the Father. So let him work on your behalf while you relax. Well, when the Lord promises salvation, it's a guarantee. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, it is written, there is no creature who is righteous, not even one. Romans 5, 8 says, God the Father demonstrates unconditional love toward all mankind, in that while we were yet sinners, while we were unbelievers, while we were his enemy, Christ died instead of us. John 3, 17, God the Father did not send the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to condemn the world. But the Father sent his Son into the world that the world might be saved through believing in him. John 1:12, and as many as received the Lord, taking advantage of the free gift of salvation, to them he gave the right, once and for all time, to become children of God, to those who believe in Christ's name. Well, there are a lot of words that are used to describe God, and one of them is amazing. And when we know how amazing he is, we stand amazed. That's the closing song, I Stand Amazed.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I've done all the work that needs to be done on the cross at Calvary to afford salvation for everyone in the world. All one must do is simply believe. By faith alone, by grace alone, you can have the gift of life eternally. And I stand up stem from what Christ has done. I am seated at the right hand of the Father in Him. I've been crucified, buried, and risen with the Son, so that I might become a friend of God and be a witness to the angels looking on, and that my love relationship with the Father might become a more intimate one. And I stand amazed at grace, for it's the power of God that saves. And I stand amazed at grace. No work of mine can save me from the grave. No one's kept from heaven because of the sins they've done, but only by the choice alone of not believing in the Son. So once you have believed in Christ by faith and grace alone, your salvation can't be lost. No one can snatch you from the hands of the Father and the Son. I stand amazed at grace. I stand amazed at grace.
So just one thing before we go into the closing prayer. Remember that next week is Resurrection Sunday, and it is a day, one of the 2 days, when most of the people in the world turn their attention to God. And so it is a day when people kind of expect to go to church. And so feel free to invite your friends. We'll have two lessons. One starts at 9, and that'll be on crucifixion. We'll have one that starts at 10:15, and that one is on resurrection. So we'll show the contrast between death and life. And it's always a great couple of messages, so please bring your friends, and they should be pretty receptive for that particular day. Let's close in prayer. Almighty God and Father, we thank you for giving us a weapon called prayer. And we thank you for teaching us that we have a weakness in that we don't know how to pray as we should. And thanks for teaching us through the Apostle Paul and through your word that we can come as we are to you in prayer, that there's no format and there's no special things that we have to do, that we can just be open and honest, and we can be mad at you if we want to, or we can be happy with you, or we can be sad, or we can be silly or funny or whatever it is that we're feeling at the particular time, because we're coming to our best friend. We're coming to the person who created us. We're coming to the person who knows us better than anybody else. Just thank you for the freedom that is inherent in our ability to pray for you. And we pray today for all those who are hurting today, Father, and we pray that you heal them, and we know you will. We pray that you get your gospel message to them, and we know you will. And we pray that you feel free to use us as instruments of your will in any way you see fit with the people in our periphery. And we pray that you protect our steps as we go out into the world, and that you keep us on the narrow way, completely dependent on you and your guiding, mentoring spirit. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming. Thanks for watching. And thanks for listening.